You're listening to The Point. Many Cape and Islands towns select a book each year and organize events around the theme or themes of the book. The event in Falmouth is titled Falmouth Reads Together, and it's been going for nearly a decade and a half. Poet Alice Kachimba is on the Falmouth Reads Together committee. She joins us to discuss this year's selection and an event she's hosting as part of the Falmouth Reads Together program. Alice, welcome back.
Good to see you.
Astute listeners might recognize Alice as one of our contributors to our Poetry Sunday series, on hiatus now, but it will return. Now, you've been active in the Falmouth Reads Together program for a number of years. What do you think it is that makes this program so successful?
Well, two things, I think. One is that people are dying to connect around a story. And last night I was able to go to the library for their fiction book club. And again, there were people that, you know, live near me, and I would never know who they are and what they really think about something like The Little Prince. And so it's a way to really become more intimate in an anonymous world.
Mm. So what are some of the guidelines that inform the committee's choice of books?
Well, inclusivity, you know, things like large print programs for children. We tend to try to alternate between fiction and nonfiction. And this year, we wanted to really aim for intergenerational programming. Mm. So that's one of the reasons why it's The Little Prince. And Linda Collins, who's the chair of the committee, really advocated for this book. And the last 2 years, On Being Mortal was all about death and dying and preparing for your own end. And Between the World and Me was about the real compelling story of race in America. So at this, she thought she was picking an upbeat book, and last night everybody said, this book is so sad.
So it is The Little Prince this year, a classic novella that has been and still may be on many required reading lists for high school and college students.
Including in Falmouth.
Yeah, so for listeners who may have last read that book in high school, might have been a while ago, remind us of the story and why it's chosen for this year's read. I mean, because of the story, right?
Well, and also because of the art and the illustrations. Mm-hmm. The big question is, was it written for children or was it written for adults? And the other part of the story, it's really a desert experience. It's about how do you make your way in a world where the little prince character really is looking for a friend. You know, he comes from a very small asteroid where he's the only one, and he has a sort of a complicated relationship with his love, which is a rose. And then, you know, there's all of these travels, and he runs into an astronomer who, you know, is too busy to really appreciate the stars, a businessman who wants to count the stars to make money off the stars, a ruler who doesn't want to be disobeyed, a drunkard who feels so ashamed of his drinking that he has to drink again. Mm-hmm. So it's really a look at how in adult life we become our functions rather than the true self of who we really are.
Is there a section you want to read for us?
Yes, let me read the how it begins. And then towards the end, I'll read my favorite part, which is towards the end. The Little Prince begins this way. Once, when I was 6, I saw a magnificent picture in a book about the jungle called True Stories. It showed a boa constrictor swallowing a wild beast. I showed the grown-ups my masterpiece, and I asked them if my drawing scared them. They answered, why be scared of a hat? My drawing number 2 looked like this, a boa constrictor digesting an elephant. The grown-ups advised me to put away my drawings of boa constrictors, outside or inside, and apply myself instead to geography, history, arithmetic, and grammar. That is why I abandoned, at the age of 6, a magnificent career as an artist. Grown-ups never understand anything by themselves, and it is exhausting for children to provide explanations over and over again.
So the story is fantastical and asks readers to let go of conventional notions of reality. Children are more adept at this than adults. So what do you think we gain by giving more freedom to our imagination?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, and I am by training a psychotherapist, so I did a little background research. And for any grown-ups listening, there's actually scientific proof of this, that if you have that beginner's mind, that you actually have more flexibility. They did a study where the assignment was for people to write, if school is canceled for today, what would you do, think, and feel? But for one subgroup, it was a qualifier. You are 7 years old. People who can put themselves back in that childhood state wrote more creatively and more flexibly. And I think the whole point of the book really is, if you have lost that experience of that inner child openness, flexibility, creativity, how do you get it back? Mm. And one of the ways is through writing, of course, or through art.
And let's talk about the art. The art in the book is simple, but it's elegantly put together. And the artist, who I'm going to ruin his name, so you go ahead and say it, Antoine?
Antoine de Saint-Exupéry.
Thank you. He wasn't considered an artist, right? Putting in artist quotes here, when he was alive. Creating art is very personal. It can be difficult to share work, especially if you aren't considered an artist. So what are your thoughts about that?
Well, actually, he wanted to be an architect, and he really had artistic ability, but he was pretty much dissuaded from that. And so what I'm really looking at with the Art Center in particular is what happens when that artistic creativity, which we all have, mm-hmm. gets squelched. And I am recently retired, and I started, I mean, this was my own story. When I was a child, I was basically told to go towards English and history and math, and that I really wasn't good enough to be an artist. So when I retired, I joined the Falmouth Arts Center and took up ceramics, which I have no ego invested. I mean, and it's an exercise in humility, because you see it. It's not like poetry where you can, you know, throw out the rough drafts. And patience. So my own experience was, you know, retirement gave me the freedom to do what I had lost as a child. Mm. And it's just been a great experience of connection and community there. And it has helped me, I think, be closer to, you know, out of the intellect and closer to what really matters, which is just the art of making something.
Yeah. So tell us more about the roundtable discussion that you'll be leading tomorrow at the Falmouth Arts Center.
Yes, from 1 to 2. It's basically a coffee and conversation. And I'm going to really ask the artists about their own inspiration, you know, especially how they keep their own artistic creativity alive, what critique helps and doesn't help. And when we look at the book, you know, we'll be talking about themes like curiosity. There's one section early on in the book, it's like the second chapter, where he meets the little prince in the desert, and the little prince says, you know, draw me a sheep. And so he draws the first sheep, and he says, oh, that sheep's too old. And he draws the second sheep, and he says, oh, that's not a sheep, that's a ram, it has horns. So then the narrator draws a box, and the little prince says, oh, that's perfect, because he can see within the box that it's the right sheep.
Yeah, that's funny. What are the other themes that you find in the book that are compelling for artists to contemplate?
Well, just like in poetry too, it's love and loss. Mm-hmm. You know, how you can, you know, long for that kind of connection and how you search for it. And in terms of probably the most famous part of the book is about the little prince engaging with a fox. And it's about being tamed and the rituals that have to happen for, you know, the fox says, you know, if you don't tame me, you know, I'll be like 1,000 other foxes, but, you know, and you'll be like 1,000 other boys. But if we become friends, then we're going to need each other. Mm. And I think that looking to as art as a form of visual communication, and how you get to make a connection with the viewer, or in my case, as a poet, the reader, what I think people long for is connection.
Yeah. You want to read that favorite section you have?
Oh, my favorite. Yes.
Yeah, your favorite.
This is towards the end, and this really picks up the theme of loss. After the fox and the little prince become friends, and little prince has to go away, you know, the fox says he's going to cry, but he tells him that, you know, wonderful secret, you know, it's only with a heart that one sees rightly. What is essential is invisible to the eye, which probably everybody is that's the one quote. So the little prince sort of remembers this, and when it's time for him to leave the planet and go back to the asteroid, and there's a huge controversy whether that's death or not, this is how he says goodbye to the aviator. At night, you look up at the stars. It's too small where I live for me to show you where my star is. It's better that way. My star will be one of the stars for you. So you'll like looking at all of them. They'll all be your friends. And besides, I have a present for you. He laughed again. Ah, little fellow, little fellow. I love hearing that laugh. That will be my present, just that. People have stars, but they aren't the same. For travelers, the stars are guides. For other people, they're nothing but tiny lights. For still others, for scholars, they're problems. For my businessman, they were gold. But all those stars are silent stars. You, though, will have stars like no one else. What do you mean? When you look up at the sky at night, since I'll be living on one of them, since I'll be laughing on one of them, for you, it'll be as if all the stars are laughing. You, only you, have stars that can laugh.
We'll have more information about Alice Kachimba's informal roundtable discussion and other Falmouth Reads Together events at our website, capeandislands.org. Alice, thanks so much for coming and sharing with
us. Thank you so much.
Coming up after break, we discuss the emotional power of music with artistic director at Cape Symphony, Jung Ho Park.